Shalom from sweetest friends, the Shir, the Nishmas, the Bava Cherevis, Chusiyogin Aleinu, about Kol Yisrael. His Yortzeit coming up, so I thought it's a great time to talk about him in order to learn from his ways. And I saw an interview for Label Groner, unfortunately it was Nifter not that long ago. It was his long-standing Gabbai, one of them, and perhaps the most well-known. He just tells amazing stories about the Rebbe. This he tells of a beautiful definition, which you can learn about the Avos Yisrael that the Lubavitch Rebbe had. One time the Rebbe was being mechalek, giving out dollars for tzedakah on Sunday, Kayadua, he'd spend hours. The Jew stands there, waiting to get a bracha from the Rebbe, and he can't understand how the Rebbe is in his 80s, and he's standing on his legs for hours at a time, hours straight. And this person's much, much younger, and his legs already hurt him, just from standing on line for the amount of time he was standing, a lot shorter than the Rebbe was standing. So he asked the Rebbe this question, and the Rebbe answered that when you count diamonds, you can't feel tired. So that's the love the Rebbe has for the Jews. He felt like he was counting down. Who gets tired? You're counting your money? See how rich you are? See all this beautiful money? Whoa! It makes me feel great. That's the way the Rebbe felt when Jews were passing by. That was an expression of the Avos Yisrael the Rebbe felt for each and every Jew. The Rebbe's thoughts were always on how to do favors, do good for Jews. Machta Toiva for Ayid. One year, there was a Jew and his wife lived in America, and they came to the Rebbe to say goodbye and get his bracha. They're going to visit Eretz Yisrael for some vacation to rest. And when they left the Rebbe's room, the woman turned to her label and she said, "What do we have to come to the Rebbe for?" She was upset. He said, "What?" Her label asked, what's the problem? What do you mean? She answered, "The Rebbe destroyed our whole vacation." The label said, "Well, what do you mean?" She answered that when we went to the Rebbe for Yechidus, the Rebbe said, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, it's very good. But before you go into Eretz Yisrael, I want you to go around a little bit in Yugoslavia or Czechoslovakia. There is a city, and the Rebbe named the city. And he says, there's an old age home for Jews. And I found out that in this old age home, there's no kosher food. And since you're already going, if it's not too hard for you, you can just stop in that country, whether it's Yugoslavia or Czechoslovakia. You can stop in that country and travel to that city and speak to the head of the Jewish community there that he should arrange for kosher food for all the Jewish people in the old age home. And that's a Hashem's baruch, I'll pay half of the expense." She concluded and said, "Can you imagine what we're talking about? It's a city that nobody ever heard of. When the Rebbe finds out that there's an old age home without kosher food, and these were people who were used to eating kosher, he takes it under his personal care, and he finds an avreich who's going to Eretz Yisrael, and he says to him, 'Oh, you want to rest? Do me a favor on the way, if you could just make sure there's going to be some kosher food there.'" Another story about the Rebbe's concern for every Jew. About 20 years ago, when this was being told, which is this interview took place about 12 years ago. About 20 years before that, a certain editor of a newspaper, a Jewish newspaper, one of the biggest Jewish newspapers in the United States. And not only does it go to Jewish homes, but it goes also to non-Jewish homes. So he wanted to meet with the Rebbe. I asked the Rebbe if I should give him a meeting, and the Rebbe said, "Not too fast, but make a time for him." So a few weeks pass, and this Jew comes in for Yechidus. It was after 12 o'clock at night. He was there until about 2 in the morning. That's as Rav Groner remembers it. And he goes out of the Rebbe's room. He was blown away. I asked him, what are you so excited about? And he answered, I'm a newspaper man. I'm a journalist. And I know what happens in the world. And I know what Lubavitch does in the world. When I wanted to go into the Rebbe, I thought to myself, what's the Rebbe going to talk about with somebody who publishes a newspaper? He's going to ask me to write all the wonderful things Lubavitch does. The mice of the Rebbe didn't even say one word about praising Lubavitch. The Rebbe started to talk to me about the newspaper, and he asked me, where does the newspaper go? And I said, the newspaper is sent to a lot of places in the world, and even the President of the United States, and the Prime Minister of England read this newspaper. The Rebbe continued, and he asked me, what about smaller places? And I said to him, it also goes there. And I told the Rebbe, there's a small city in Texas. There are two Jewish families there, and they also get the newspaper. The Rebbe looked at me and asked me, do you know? Do you know what your achrayus is? What your responsibility is? And the guy's like, the editor's like, yeah, to write a newspaper. And the Rebbe says, I should know that the only kesher that these two families have with Yiddishkeit is via your newspaper. And if you write authentic Judaism, you're going to be the kli through which they get authentic Judaism in their life. They live in this spiritual desert, spiritual wasteland. But if you write stam things, or chalila, things that are against Yiddishkeit, you're going to be responsible for these two families. I remember when the journalist was blown away. He said, there are two families sitting in Texas in a little town. Who cares? Who thinks about them at all? Nobody. And here sits the Lubavitcher Rebbe in Brooklyn, and he finds a Jew through whom he thinks he can help these two families learn about Yiddishkeit. Doesn't talk about anything about the Lubavitch, say nice things about Lubavitch, nothing. Just these two families. There's an interesting story at the beginning of the Rebbe's Nesius, when one of the Avreichim that every summer used to go to a certain state, and he would go to the Rebbe to say goodbye, get a Berachas HaDerech. When he went in, the Rebbe said to him, but when he goes to that state, or that country, I don't know if he was going to a different state or a different country, when he goes to that place, you should first go to a city that's nearby, and you should help out with the Yiddishkeit of the few Jews who are living there. Of course, the Avreich is happy to fulfill the request of the Rebbe, calls up the travel agent, and he asks for a place on the airplane that flies to that area, that city. So the travel agent said, there's no room on the airplane. This person called me and said I should tell the Rebbe what this travel agent said. No room. The Rebbe answered, you should tell him. He should call another 15 minutes to the travel agent and see what he says this time. And he did what the Rebbe said. 15 minutes later, he calls up. And the travel agent said, yeah. A spot on the airplane just opened up. Somebody just suddenly canceled his flight. So when Rav Leibel came in to tell this to the Rebbe said, does the travel agent understand how that spot opened up on the airplane? I mean, the Rebbe was merames that he was piled with his tefillos in those 15 minutes that this person should call up and cancel his flight. One year, it was a letter that came to the secretariat of the Rebbe asking for the bracha of the Rebbe, a woman who fell on her face, Chmai Litzlan, and the bones in her face were all broken. And after many tests, The doctors decided she has to have four operations. The Rebbe asked, "Is that what the doctors say?" And Rebbe Leibel said, "I spoke to the doctor, and that's what he said." So the Rebbe told me, even though tomorrow I wasn't planning to go to the oil of my shver, but I'm going to do all the hachanas to go to the oil and daven for her. Next day, the Rebbe traveled to the oil. Comes back late. And he says, "I want you to call the doctor and ask what's the matzah of this woman." The Rebbe never got on the phone. He had a rule: no, he doesn't speak on the phone. But Rebbe Leibel will speak on the phone for him. So he says, "I want you to call the doctor and find out what's the matzah of this woman." Called up the doctor, and he said, "It looks like three operations are enough." Rebbe came back, comes and asks, "You still need three operations?" And I said, "Yeah." So the Rebbe said, "Tomorrow I'm going in again to the oil." And I knew that when the Rebbe comes back from the oil, he's going to want to know what's going on. So before the Rebbe came back, Rebbe Leibel already called the doctor. "No, what does the doctor think now?" "The doctor says, you know now what it looks like? Two operations." The Rebbe heard that, and he said, "All right, I'm going back to the oil tomorrow." Next day, Rebbe Leibel calls the doctor up. Doctor says, "I think one operation is going to be enough." And then, of course, it happened again. And the Rebbe Leibel called up the doctor. And the doctor said, "You know, I don't think operation is going to be necessary. We can put back the bones with needles." It's important to know that when the Rebbe went to the oil, he didn't eat that day. He just drank in the morning a cup of tea. That was it. And the Rebbe would go for hours and hours without eating, without drinking, just a little bit of tea in the morning. Sometimes he'd come back at 9 o'clock at night, sometimes at 12 o'clock at night. And then they would have mincha. I have a friend here in the neighborhood, Lubavitcher, who told me he's davening mincha with the Rebbe after the oil, really, really late. So imagine, the Rebbe fasts 4 days. 4 days he fasts for this woman. She shouldn't have an operation. And davens. That's tremendous, obviously, Yisrael. One year there was a chuppah in the Rebbe's chutzner. After the chuppah, the Rebbe comes up to Reb Groner. He says, where are the musical instruments?" So Reb Leibel asked some questions, and it turns out that the Chassan Kala was so poor they just couldn't afford a band. They couldn't afford music. Rebbe didn't like that. Just taken aback, and he told Reb Leibel, "I want you to order musical instruments. Band, I'll pay, but don't tell them it was me." Right before the year 1960. Suddenly, a wife of one of the chassidim got very sick, and she lay unconscious, a very, very difficult matzav. And all of the efforts of the doctors to awake or arouse her weren't successful. And the son was shortly before his chasana, and he went to Reb Leibel, and he said to go to the Rebbe and ask for a bracha and eitzah. And the Rebbe said to tell him, go to the mikveh and take a kosher mezuzah, put it next to his mother, and say in her ear her name, adding vihi. In other words, the son should take the mezuzah kshera, put it next to his mother, say her name, I guess add Yimi Morasi, then you can say your mother's name. And the Rebbe added, and she's going to dance at your chasana. The son did what he was supposed to do, he was told to do. And suddenly the mother woke up the next day, started getting better and better until she got completely better. One of the days that she was covering, I went to tell the Rebbe about the Zman Kriyas HaTorah and the Beis Medrash. And the Rebbe asked me if there are any ideas about this woman. And I said, Rebbe, I didn't hear. So the Rebbe said, I want you to call up on the phone and be mevar what the matzav is. She's definitely home already. It was mafli. To see how much the Rebbe, who had all of the world on his Jewish world on his shoulders, was worried about individuals like this woman. So Bidiuk, when this was happening, the husband comes into 770. Label was so happy, he said, yeah, just now the Rebbe was asking about your wife. And he gave me a letter in order that I should give it to the Rebbe. The Rebbe comes out of the Beis Medrash after Kriyas HaTorah. This person goes up to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe asked about the matzav of his wife's health. This person related that his son's wedding, they wanted to make it on Yud Shvat. But since that's the Yom Hilula of the Rayatz, the Chasna was pushed off. The Yud Zayin or the Yud Ches Shvat, the Rebbe reacted. Chai Shvat Zolzayin Chai. And when Reb Leibel came in soon after to the room of the Rebbe smiled and he said, I didn't realize, I didn't think I'd schlep him here so fast. How did he come now? You told him that now I asked about him? In other words, the Rebbe had been thinking about him and about this person's wife. Pitomi comes into 770 and he meets Reb Leibel. And he tells him, oh yeah, my son's wedding, and pushed it off. Okay, it's good, it's Chai B'Shvat. Amazing story that happened with the Jews, not a Chabad Chosid. Torah Rebbe Leibel a number of years before, then he has to go to Europe for business. He wants to go into the Rebbe to ask a bracha before his trip. So Rebbe goes to the Yechidus on Sunday. When he comes out, he said, I don't understand your Rebbe. Rebbe asked me where I'm going to be next Shabbos. And I told him, according to my plans, I'm leaving Europe on Thursday, coming to New York on Friday morning. And since Shabbos is at 7 at night, there's no chashash chil Shabbos. The Rebbe didn't let go and he said, where are you going to be next Shabbos? And I told the Rebbe again, I'm flying on Thursday, I'll come to New York on Friday. The Rebbe asked again. So already this person understood something's up over here. So he was silent and the Rebbe said, gave him a bracha. This bracha should help. That wherever you'll be, we'll have a happy Shabbos. A week and a few days pass, and this person calls up the secretariat of the Rebbe, the Maskirut, and he says that on Thursday the plane took off as planned, but there was a Nechitat Cherum in Greenland. Oh my gosh. They had an emergency landing in Greenland. I wonder if they saw the international dateline there, what it looks like. And 12 o'clock on Friday, they said that the airplane is fixed, and everybody can come back to where they were sitting. And he said, when are we going to arrive? And the answer was an hour after Shabbos starts. So I told the pilot that for religious reasons, I can't fly. He remained in the airport in Greenland. And he's going back and forth. He's looking for a place to put his head. And then he finds something that says, "Hakanisa asura, now to go in. Entrance for forbidden. Entry forbidden." So, he's a good Jew. He opens up the door anyway. We don't always like to take orders. And he sees him, a Jew with a beard, just taking a shluf. Person wakes up, looks at me. It's very surprised to see me. And I feel like this is min ha-shamayim that they brought me to this place. I asked the Jew what he's doing there. He said, "I'm the shliach of the Rebbe. There's an army base here. They're Jewish soldiers. And the Rebbe wants me to spend Shabbos with them in order to encourage them. What are you doing here?" The person said, I had a flight. Got stuck here. I can't continue flying because I'll go into Shabbos." The chassid thought for a second. "Is a problem. He's allowed to go into the army base, but I don't have a certificate to go into the army base." He said he's going to ask from the officer a special certificate, special pass, that he can go into the army base as well. And this businessman said he's never had in his life such an elevating Shabbos. He heard this chassid give shmuzim in front of the soldiers. He saw how he was makarev them to Yiddishkeit, warm them up. And then he said that the Rebbe's bracha helped. And then the Rebbe Leibel said, "The Rebbe's bracha helped you. You weren't stammed keeping Shabbos there." The Rebbe said, "You wanted to have a happy Shabbos." So he had a happy Shabbos. So the Rebbe gives a bracha. He thinks about it. "Where are you going to be for Shabbos? Where are you going to be for Shabbos?" The Rebbe knew. What he was thinking, where he thought he was going to be for Shabbos, he wasn't going to be for Shabbos. Pillay plus. On Motzei Shabbos, the Rebbe gets a telephone call from Chassid. He wants him to go into the Rebbe, and that he should tell him that his wife fainted during Hadlokas Neris. He took her to the hospital, and then they said the matzah was very, very serious. On Motzei Shabbos, the matzah was very, very difficult still, and he begged Rebbe Leibel. "I know Motzei Shabbos the Rebbe's not in his room, but you have the telephone number in his private house. Please call up the Rebbe's house. Tell him the matzav." That's what Rebbe Leibel did. Calls up the Rebbe's house and he tells him what's going on. Next day the Rebbe comes to 770. And he tells Rebbe Leibel to call up this person and ask what happened Shabbos morning at 5 in the morning. Leibel didn't know what was going on Shabbos morning at 5 in the morning, but that's why he was asking. The Rebbe told him to ask. So he asked what the Rebbe asked and told him to ask. And the person said that Friday night, the matzah got really, really bad. And then, really early in the morning, the phone rings in his house. And since he knew that the situation was very difficult, he asked his child to pick up the phone. And the doctor said that the situation is very, very critical. And if they want to say goodbye before she dies, they should come in the next half hour. They all get to the hospital. When they get there, the doctor says, no, there's a sudden change in her matzav. Things are better. Improvement. So he goes back to this answer to the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, "Why am I revealing to him that I know what happened at 5 o'clock in the morning? Because it was really, really bad at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the situation didn't improve because of the doctors. Because I thought about her. And the Rebbe wanted me to tell this to the chassid, explaining that he's revealing this. Because you have to know, you can't hide from the Rebbe. You shouldn't think for a second that the Rebbe is sitting at 770 Eastern Parkway or at his house at 1304 President Street. And he's limited in what he knows. By the Rebbe, time and space don't limit." So with that very powerful message, we'll conclude. And of course, Now, if we start telling Rebbe stories, we can literally never finish. And lo alecha macham begor v'yata ben chorin lipater mimena. So, Amir Hashem, in the future shir, we will continue relating the neflos of the Rebbe, and hopefully it'll give us a chizuk in our Yerushalayim and our midas tovus. Thank you for listening. Shalom, shalom.